Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel reading just read. The baptism of Jesus is one of those pivotal moments in Jesus' ministry. You could say that it's the very start of his ministry on earth. But that it started with baptism is really a significant point. Listen again to this exchange between Jesus and John the Baptist as they stand there on the shore of the Jordan. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. John was sent out to the Jordan to baptize sinners. And as a prophet of God, he knew that Jesus was not one that fit into that category. He was not a sinner in any way. He was sinless. And yet, Jesus came there to undergo a baptism of sinners. But he did that for a very special purpose. Like I said in the children's message, he was the one who was there to take all of those people's sins away. He was there to wash them, not with plain water, but with the water combined with God's word. The washing that declares a sinner forgiven. But Jesus' special purpose that day was to be baptized with sinners for sinners. Yes, his baptism was the beginning of his ministry, but that was a unique ministry that only Jesus himself could fulfill. When we call Jesus, when we call the Son of God, Jesus Christ, it's important to know what the name Christ means. As I told our junior confirmands recently, Christ is not simply Jesus' last name. It's a special meaning. It's a title. It means the one who is anointed. And God speaks throughout the Old Testament of one who is anointed, but specifically there are three offices that people were anointed into. You should think about that. Is anointing a word that you use in daily life? Probably not. But anointing in God's language, in the Bible, is a rite where oil is poured over a candidate for the office's head. And there are three offices that God commanded anointing for. It was for prophets, it was for priests, and it was for kings. Elisha was anointed prophet by Elijah. Aaron and his sons were anointed to be priests who would stand between the people and God, who would represent the people to God and then turn around and represent God to the people. And then kings were also anointed to begin their service of serving God's people as their temporal rulers, just as King David was, and Saul and many others. But when Jesus is baptized, he's not just anointed with oil. The heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove and comes to rest on Jesus. And a voice from heaven declares that this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the voice of the Father speaking about his Son. In days of old, there were different men who served in these different offices of prophet, priest, or king. But now, where Jesus stands here in the Jordan River, he is anointed for a threefold office. He was anointed as the end times fulfillment, the end times prophet, the end times priest, and the end times king. Jesus is the prophet that Moses foretold in Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Jesus is also the eternal priest, not after the order of Aaron, not like we see pictured in the temple and offering sacrifices of goats and calves and lambs. But the Lord tells us in Psalm 110, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus is also the king and the son of David, as Nathan the prophet spoke to King David when he was still alive. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Jesus was the one who was uniquely qualified to fulfill that threefold office, a prophet, priest, and king. Only Jesus spoke the word of God exactly as he had heard it from his Father from eternity. Not only did he speak it, but as he lived, he also fulfilled it. So that after Jesus rose, he was able to say to his disciples in Luke 24, that everything that was written in the scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the psalms, the whole Old Testament was fulfilled in him. Jesus is also the one who is a priest, the only one who could offer a sacrifice for sin without having to offer a sacrifice for his own sin. All of the Old Testament priests had to offer sacrifice for their own sins, just as today's pastors have to kneel with the congregation and confess their own sins and receive the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of their own sins. But Jesus was uniquely sinless. And as priest, he offered himself as the sacrifice. On the altar of the cross, Jesus was that one end times priest who offered himself to God to make peace with the people. Jesus was also the end times king. He was a king who was without corruption, without a wandering heart or a wandering eye like the kings who had come before him. He did not have any scandal, and he had no selfish interest. He rules his people as a perfect servant and as a perfect Lord. And all of that is why at the baptism of Jesus, the heavens open and the Father's voice declares, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." At the Jordan River, Jesus was baptized and anointed into these three offices on your behalf. And he did it for your salvation. And now you are baptized into him. You are baptized into the sinless one because you are a sinner. But the Father doesn't look at you just in your sins now. He looks at you through Christ. You are baptized into Christ, the righteous one who offered himself for the unrighteous to bring you to God. And we know from Romans 6, from the Small Catechism, that everyone who is baptized into him was baptized into his death. That we are crucified with him and we rise to newness of life. This is God's will for us in baptism. What you may not know, though, is that when you are baptized into Christ and anointed with the Holy Spirit, you are anointed for an office by God. You were anointed through Christ. As St. Paul writes, and actually this is St. Peter writes in chapter 3 of his epistle, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we also heard that echoed in the epistle reading from Romans 12. That means that every one of us who is baptized into Christ has been made a priest to God. Not after the Old Testament orders where we all had to wear, as if we had to all wear robes and all serve in a temple and all undergo ceremonial washings day after day. It means that your life is offered as a sacrifice to God. That everything that you do for the baptized, if it's done in faith, is offered to God as a spiritual sacrifice. And this is God's gracious will. So for the baptized, our lives are no longer just a matter of living for ourselves, looking out for our own personal preferences, or looking out for number one. It's about being called by God to serve as a priest in his kingdom and in the world in service to your neighbor. God anointed you for loving service to your neighbor. In the family, it means, as Paul writes in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It also speaks to us on the job, bondservants, or today we might use the term employees. Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And masters or bosses, supervisors, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. It also speaks to us in church. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. But it also speaks to pastors. Pastors, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And it speaks to all of us as American citizens. Citizens, be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it is to the emperor as supreme or to those who are appointed by him. This is the description of what it means to serve in the office of priest, or as we more familiarly call it, being a child of God. And this is what you and I have been baptized into. These instructions here are your instructions as a child of God and life. So whatever place God places you in, you are a priest to him. And your life is to be given to him to give him glory and honor. Consider this calling in the relationships that God has given you. And in our congregation, this also applies. If you haven't completed your time and talent survey and turned it in, notice the language that's in each of those columns. Would like to serve, am now serving, or may serve in the future. It's more than just about checking a box for a job that needs to be done. It's about us as priests to our God reflecting on how God has called us to serve and to reflect on the gifts that God has given us for that service to our neighbor. And it isn't about trying to serve the Lord to get his attention or to get his favor. After all, he's the one who sought us out when we were lost. But it's about living in our baptismal anointing and our calling to be priests to our God. Martin Luther has a quote about this verse that I quoted from 1 Peter chapter 2 about being a holy priesthood to God. And this is what Martin Luther writes. We live on earth only so that we should be a help to other people. Otherwise, it would be best if God would strangle us and let us die as soon as we were baptized and had begun to believe. For this reason, however, he lets us live, that we may bring other people also to faith as he has done for us. Everything, then, should be directed in such a way that you recognize what God has done for you, and that you thereafter make it your highest priority to proclaim this publicly and call everyone to the light to which you are called. Christ our Lord was anointed at his baptism, prophet, priest, and king. And in his perfect work, you and I have been saved by our end-time Savior, the very Son of God. And he has given us a place in his kingdom, and he's washed us with pure water and given us the forgiveness of our sins. He's also raised us to life together. As Luther so aptly and colorfully pointed out, he doesn't take us immediately to heaven. He calls us to live here on earth, to live in our daily callings, and to live together in faith. So pray that his Holy Spirit would guide and enable you to perform your own callings as a kingdom of priests to our God. And in the small catechism, look at the table of duties, because that's where those verses all came from. They're all daily instruction for us as king, as priests to our God. And when that work is being done among us, then Jesus has this promise, that the people around us may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Thanks be to God for calling us by his grace to this work. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.